Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we enter into Lent, it seems like the lectionary has kind of moved things around. Last week, we celebrated the Transfiguration, right? Kind of the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross in Jerusalem. And at the beginning of Epiphany, like right after Christmas, we celebrated Jesus' baptism. Well, today, this day where Jesus heads into the wilderness is right after Jesus is baptized in the waters. After Jesus is the dove descends on him, the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son whom I love," all right, "with whom I am well pleased." And so right after this anointing of the Spirit, after Jesus begins his public ministry, Jesus is baptized into what? The wilderness. All right. He has this great moment with the baptizer in the Jordan River, and Jesus is sent, we're told, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. For what purpose? To be tempted, to be tested. One of the cool things that I was able to experience in Israel in January was we went to the Jordan River. And so it had rained a couple of days before we were in Jerusalem. And when by the time we got to the river, it was very high. And so you could kind of see the little boys that are out there to keep people. This is the furthest you can go. You couldn't even go out there. It was so full. But it was amazing, right around this Jordan River Valley, there was this wilderness. And, you know, this is what it looks like 2,000 years after Christ. You know, there's nobody that's lived there. There's just this wilderness. This is kind of between, you know, Jerusalem and Jericho. Jericho is the traditional location of Jesus' temptation. But out in this wilderness is where the Spirit led him. Out from the Jordan River, out of this mountaintop high spiritual experience into the wilderness. The wilderness is uncomfortable, if you've ever been there. Maybe not in that outdoor wilderness, but in our lives, we all experience times of wilderness, times of emptiness, times where we feel that we're alone, times of hardship. And so as we head into the wilderness, I truly believe that times in the wilderness, God uses them to shape us. Sometimes as the things that we hold on to, the things that are comfortable, the things that we rely on are stripped away from us, how we respond to that sickness, that broken relationship, to that lost job, to the hardship at work, how we deal with that diagnosis of cancer, how we deal with that emptiness and wilderness in our hearts and lives, it shapes us. I truly believe that wilderness is that time and place where God takes you to be alone with him. As everything else is stripped away, God says there's only one thing for you to rely on now, and that's me. Trust me. Rely on me. Know that I am with you always. Sometimes we think that the wilderness is the enemy. But today I want to assure you that the wilderness is not the enemy. The circumstances of our lives are not the enemy. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be moments where we're filled up with joy. And there's moments where we cry out to God in anguish and despair. But that wilderness is not the enemy. You know what roams in the wilderness? You know what prowls for something for it to devour in the wilderness moments of our lives? The devil, our enemy, Satan, seeks to use these moments where things are stripped away and we aren't sure, you know, there's nothing else for us to lean on to. But the enemy, from the very beginning, has put before us these three temptations. You know, just do it if it feels good. All right. You don't need anybody else. You're fine by yourself. You'll be better if you have more. Just a little bit more. Life is just a little bit better. And so Satan says, instead of turning to God to fulfill us, we turn to feeling good and inside. We turn to being more self-reliant and independent and seeking and consuming more of this world. You know, when you think of the very first temptation in the Garden of Eden, remember God, you know, said, don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Eve is hanging around that tree and sees that the fruit is pleasing to the eye and desirable for food, all right? It's something that's going to taste good. And then Satan puts out that temptation. If you eat it, you'll be like God. You'll be independent. You won't need God to rule over, but you'll be like him yourself, knowing the difference between right or wrong. God is holding out on you. If you eat it, you'll have more. You'll be more. In a way, Jesus' trip to the wilderness is a trip to undo what happened in that garden. Where Adam and Eve, did they listen to the temptation of Christ? Did they give in? Yeah, they did. And that temptation led to death. I love the words of Martin Luther as he talks about where the origin of sin is. He says this, the sin underneath all of our sins is to trust the lie of the serpent that we cannot trust the love and the grace of Christ, and that we must take matters into our own hands. Do you see that there's kind of two prongs there to temptation? That number one is that God's love and grace, Satan says, it's not enough. In the garden, did Adam and Eve have everything they needed? Yeah, they had everything. Everything. It was perfect. It was paradise. But Satan says, is that enough? Is God holding out? Why don't you take this into your own hands so that you can be like God? And so in the wilderness is a time for us to trust in the grace of Christ, to not take things into our own hands, but to trust God. You see, Jesus faced these temptations. He fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, and he was hungry. He was at his weakest. His body was empty. His stomach was empty. And what was the first temptation? Satan said, look at this rock. If you are, or since you are the Son of God, you can do anything. Turn this rock into bread. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems to me that Satan will always attack us when we're the most empty. When we aren't being fulfilled. Or maybe we feel other people are letting us down, or God is letting us down. And so we want to take things into our own hands. When we're empty, Satan will always give us a way to think that we can fill ourselves up. You know, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's pornography, whether it's, you know, filling yourself with a relationship that you know is not good for you. We seek to fill ourselves up when God says, all you really need is me. Jesus' response was man does not live on bread alone, but what does man live on? The word of God. The word of God. Jesus relies on the strength and the word that comes from his heavenly Father. The next temptation, Satan takes Jesus up to this high temple mountain and kind of twists God's word. That's what Satan sometimes does. He tries to twist God's way to say, if you just throw yourselves down, the angels will catch you and everybody will know who you are. Could have been tempting for Jesus. Instead of the path that he would know, to be known in his glory as a Son of Man. But Jesus says, you know, do not test the Lord your God. Jesus doesn't fall for that trap. But so often when we're tempted, I don't know about you, are you really good at rationalizing things? All right, to say, well, it's not so bad, or if I just do it a little bit, or you know, it's really easy to convince ourselves that a sin isn't bad, that we sit and twist God's way. And the last thing, Satan took Jesus to this high mountain and said, look at this world and everything can be yours if you but bow to me. Satan tells us you can have it all. You can feel better. You can have what you want. Your desires can be fulfilled if you do what? If you worship Satan, if you worship the things of this world, if you worship what God says, it doesn't matter. Because what matters most is a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know, said we worship God alone. And so in doing so, Satan was sent off. Instead of failing like Adam, Jesus fulfilled all of God's commandments. He was perfect. He was holy. He resisted temptation and lived in God's way so that when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law for us. Jesus' perfect obedience is now ours through faith. And so what Adam wasn't able to do, the sin that was passed along through Adam to all of us, Jesus was perfect so that now his righteousness could be passed to all of us through faith. Not only that, when we do stumble, when we do fall, when we do give in to temptation, where do we turn? We turn to Jesus. Lent is a season of repentance, of turning away from our sin and turning towards God. Lent is a time to turning away from the temptation so that we may focus on the cross, that we may focus on our Savior. And so I want to ask you this question today, to kind of wrap it up here. Where is your wilderness? Maybe it's just a part of your life that you're feeling a wilderness right now. A disconnect from God, a disconnect from others, a discontentment with your situation. Your temptation is to take things into your own hands and not to rely on the grace of God. Seek him first. Seek God first, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek God first, and he will give you direction, and he will lead you, as he did for Israel after 40 years, out of the wilderness into what? The promised land. May you and I, while we're in this wilderness, trust in God that he is leading us to something more, something beyond what we can ask for or imagine, a greater, fuller, closer life walking with our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, being in the wilderness is no fun. Thank you, Jesus, for having this wilderness experience so that we know that we have a high priest, that Jesus, you are able to sympathize and understand the temptations we go through, the barren landscape of our hearts and our lives. We ask, Lord, that you may replace that with the rivers of joy and of mercy, that we may not turn to this world and give in to our temptations, but that you may shape us by standing strong, by resisting temptation and living out our faith, knowing that there is a reward, there is a peace and a joy in obedience. Help us, O Lord, even in our wilderness, to seek you out, to trust you, to press into your grace that Jesus won for us on the cross. Lord, draw us by your Holy Spirit ever closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.